The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined in the studio by Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Climate, Environment and Energy and the Minister for Transport. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
Thanks
Claire.
For coming in.
You're very welcome.
Now, the fuel package, the excise measures and the VAT rebates, you've been saying that this is an initial response. But why did you think it was fair to give next to nothing to people who have to pay for home heating oil?
No, I think we'd look at the package in the round. It is very significant. It's about 235 million euro as an initial response, and it's considered. It allows flexibility too, because we've got to continue to monitor the situation. What we've done is extended the fuel allowance to an extra 150.
I think people know what you've done, but clearly you'd had a conversation about home heating oil.
Yes, of course.
And what was the calculation?
Well,
there?
It's zero excise already. Okay, that's the thing too. So how much one can do immediately is difficult. But what we've decided to do is really target our measures at those that need it most. So the 470,000 homes that receive fuel allowance will receive an extra 4 weeks, about 152 euro.
Mm-hmm.
And that is directly to those families. We've reduced the NORA levy, which was the flexibility that we did have, which was basically 2% down to zero.
So you felt there was nothing you could do for people who are paying double now for home heating
oil? I don't think it's fair to say there's nothing has been done. I think if you compare Ireland versus the measures that the UK have brought in, their measures are worth about 60 million euro. For a country of 60 million people.
Their economy's in a bad place. Yeah, but ours is not.
Yeah, but that's a very good point. And why is our economy not? Because of good economic management and the hard work of our people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the resources to be able to soften the blows of the increases, not to be able to affray them completely. But we do need that flexibility to respond, because this situation is changing by the hour, not even by the day. So what we've done is bring forward measures for 2 months. We'll continue to monitor them, and we will respond further if needs be.
So are you saying to people who use home heating oil that there may be something down the line? Because they were hit hardest, they were hit first,
paying double for their fill. And look, if you look at the situation both in the Republic and the North as well, they've even a heavier dependence on home heating oil. What we've tried to do is to give money directly to families. Now, while we're doing that, while we've protected things like the Climate Fund, is so we can accelerate further retrofitting. So we've retrofitted about 250,000 homes, which permanent savings for households, permanent financial savings, improvements in heating, improvements in energy.
I see what
usage.
You're saying, but it doesn't help you this week or last week if you have to fork out 1,700 for your oil.
You can't just look at one thing. I genuinely think you have to look at it in the round. If you look at the reductions in excise as well, that on diesel, 22 cent effectively, on petrol, 17 cent. I've already seen driving in here today, some of the forecourts, those prices are changing already. That is a saving for each family as well, okay?
Uh-huh.
But to answer your question directly, will there be other measures? We have to watch this, and we will watch it closely. We brought forward a considered approach to this, one that is sustainable too, and one that is affordable as well, because we've got to protect the overall exchequer. We've also got to look at our economy. So why do we look specifically at fuel as well? Was because we have people like, let's say, the hauliers, who are a really important part of our supply chain. Mm-hmm. So not only have we done the reductions, we've also increased the diesel rebate scheme to protect that sector.
Ger Highland was here yesterday, and you'll know this, he wants the rebate to be at 20 cent per litre, not the 12 that you put it up to.
To be fair to the IHRA and Ger Highland, like, I've engaged with him over the last 2 weeks in a very, very constructive way. I think, to be fair to him as well, that he's representing his members, who are a very important part of our supply chain. So all the goods that are on our supermarket shelves, all of those type of things, they are critical.
But 20 cent a litre, too much, too far? Would it happen?
No, well, I think the diesel rebate scheme under current legislation allows it to vary up to 15 cent per litre. Okay,
so that's as far as you can go
right now. So what we've done is 12. That has been well. And the important thing is that's backdated to January. So effectively, that claims can be made now for diesel paid and excise paid over that period from January onwards.
The problem is, and you'll be aware of this, the more they have to pay for their fuel, we're going to have to pay that.
100%.
Like, that's all going to come to us.
And look, Claire, you know it, your listeners know it, this is an international crisis, okay? I had a briefing last Thursday from the International Energy Agency. This is a very deep and severe crisis. And there, you know, we have to make sure that we keep reserves that we have, and financial reserves that we can respond further if needs be. And I think that is the prudent thing to do. We've got to protect jobs and the economy. We've got to protect livelihoods. We've got to look after those who are vulnerable as well and at risk of fuel poverty. So when you look at these measures, are just post a budget as well, where you've seen further increases in social protection, further increases in fuel allowance.
I just want to go back to what you're hearing about how serious this could get, because it's clear that it, beyond what's happening at the pumps and what people are paying for their home heating, it hasn't begun to bite yet, but it will, because we will see the consequences, won't we, of those fuel price increases, in particular for hauliers. How serious could this get in your view?
Well, I don't want to catastrophise the situation. I think people know that it is very serious, because we've had no fuel effective through the Strait of Hormuz, which accounts for about 20% of overall global supply. Now, we're not directly dependent on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take things like on gas in particular, that the last shipments that were received in Europe were actually pre the outbreak of the war, and nothing has come through since. So we do have to, European Union-wide and our own country, look at demand-side measures. And what I mean by that is looking to conserve, and people do that. We saw that when the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that already households change what they're doing, you know, reducing the amount of lights they're using, looking at putting appliances on at different times of the day. We're going to have to be very prudent in that regard.
In a more formalised way, are you suggesting?
Potentially in future. We have to watch this. Like, we have the best of advice. As I said, the International Energy Agency that we have, that I attended the minister's meeting there just at the start of this year. You know, this was not something that was envisaged. We do get the best of advice. We do have the data in relation to fossil supply. One of the things that is positive, though, is within our electricity system, that we've over 40% of our electricity generated by renewables. Mm-hmm. We've doubled wind capacity over the last 10 years.
It should be more, according to some, including the Labour Party last night during that debate.
Well, I would say this, though. It is, we've doubled wind capacity in 10 years. Last year, we reached 8 gigawatts of renewable energy, actually just last week.
Mm-hmm.
That is a massive milestone. We also have an expansion of EVs. We've over 200,000 EVs on the road, 212,000 actually as of now.
Mm-hmm.
And solar has increased from less than 1 megawatt to over 1 gigawatt.
Yeah, it's a pity all of that wasn't playing into how much we're paying for our energy.
But actually,
what
it does, though, is it protects against the excesses of further increases. It does, because if we look at, on any given day, over 40 to 45% of our electricity is generated through renewables. Now, that's not free. We still pay for that, but it is not as expensive as fossil.
Okay.
And really important, what we got to do, just to say in conclusion, is to continue to accelerate that. We're projecting that by the end of the decade, over 70% of our electricity will be generated by renewables.
From renewables.
So we reduce our dependence on fossil.
But what people are doing today is paying for their petrol and paying for their diesel. Now, Sarah Madden, our reporter, has been out and about talking to people who are fueling up today, just to see if they can notice a difference. Just have a quick listen to what Sarah heard on the streets this morning.
It's not doing much, Eddie. Look, a couple of cents isn't going to do anything. Like 15 cents compared to what it's gone up. It's gone up a lot. Killing everyone trying to go out and make do a day's work. They're just a pay to get the work. Like, you're not really earning anything.
The diesel bill's gone up about 80 quid a week. And I have a farm at home. The diesel's gone up there too. Very expensive.
Yeah, you see, we had listeners getting in touch with us all week when this was first mooted that you were going to do this, and they felt that the prices were going up ahead of the reduction coming in the excise. But there's nothing you can do about that, is there?
Well, no, there is actually, because like I have already engaged with the Commission for Regulation of Utilities directly with the fuel sector to ensure that pricing is fair. What you will see, and I saw on the way in today, a couple of forecourts already where prices had reduced. If there's existing supply that was purchased before the reductions, obviously that has to wash through the system.
Mm-hmm.
But we watch that very, very closely, I can assure people. Also the CCPC, in relation to consumer protection, are also monitoring this. And I chair within my own department the Energy Affordability Task Force that met last week again, that will meet again tomorrow. And this is something that is a standing item on our agenda. Now, that group is drawn across government, from state agencies and government departments chaired by myself, that we have to continue to monitor this. But from my dealings, to be fair, with Fuels Ireland and others, they have absolutely assured me that there would be no issue with regard to passing on the price excise reduction. Some forecourts will have supply as of yesterday that has to be purchased through. But when new supply comes through, people will see those reductions.
Do you
and
think
we'll make sure that
the increases that we've seen over the last 3 weeks, that they have been fair and reasonable?
Well, look, for a lot of people are paying, they're finding it very difficult to pay it. So first and foremost, if you're filling up your car, you know, you won't feel that it's reasonable. But we are at the vagaries.
Let me put the question another way. Do you think that there was price gouging going on?
I don't have evidence of that. And I don't. And I've looked, and I'm going to be dead straight with you. And I know people will feel when they see such a big increase in prices, think, is someone making, you know, an additional amount out of that. I do not have evidence of that. When anecdotally, you know, things have been brought to our attention, we do look at that, and that is looked at. I mentioned the Commission for Regulation of Utilities and the Consumer Protection Authority
it's
as well.
It's all done retrospectively, though, isn't it? There's nothing you can do in the moment about it.
Claire, I meet directly with the sector, okay? And to be fair to them as well, we've put those questions directly to them, and I've been assured by them, they're professional people, that price gouging, excuse me, is not a thing that's mm-hmm. prevalent in this country. Will there be one or two rogue operators? Of course, and that happens in every sector. When we find that out, that is dealt with. But I think the transparency in relation to the excise reductions that were brought forward and voted on by the Dáil last night are very, very clear. So people know that we all, including the NOR levy, the excise duty is 22 cent reduction in diesel per litre, 17 cent on petrol per litre. The NORA levy.
That's what the people should be seeing today.
Yes, well, from today. Yeah. From okay. to be fair.
Now, the agriculture sector, they say they've seen increases of 50% in green diesel. The tax cut for them, though, amounts to about 3 cents a litre. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, as I said at the very outset of my discussion with you here, we have to make sure that the measures we bring forward are targeted, are sustainable and are affordable, and that we have a reserve that we can respond again. So these measures are temporary. We all hope that the situation de-escalates mm-hmm. and we get back to normality.
But the message from you is we can't protect you from this.
No, well, the message from me is I think to be fair, like the vast majority of people will understand that no government anywhere in the world is going to be able to protect people against every single price increase. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to the exchequer, the taxpayer, to our economy as well, to make sure that we don't overspend or deploy all our resources immediately. Like if I look at what some of the opposition, particularly the main opposition party, have looked for, they brought forward a bill last week that was a 20 cent cut for a 6 month period. What we've done is more. And then what did Sinn Féin do last night? Vote against the very excise duty reductions that they were calling for, even though ours were in excess. But
they said your measures were stingy and they came too late.
Well, it is a little bit ironic. It really speaks to opposition for opposition's sake when you're actually voting against putting money back in people's pockets. That's what they did last night. PBP, Labour, Soc Dems, everyone else in the Dáil Chamber voted with the measures, with the exception of Sinn Féin. I see that as really very naked political populism. But they'll answer for that. But leaving that aside, getting back to it, look, we will continue to very closely watch the situation. As the Taoiseach has said and the Taoiseach, and I am saying again to you today, is if and when we need to deploy further measures, should the situation mm-hmm. deteriorate further, we will. But we will do it in a planned okay. and considered way that's responsible.
So something else that's happening is that sure. the nursing unions and ICTU mm-hmm. saying that the mileage rates need to change now. And if they don't change, the government will be facing higher wage demands. This is something, you know, we were talking earlier about the implications of all of this.
There are implications, yes.
I mean, what do you think of that request from those unions?
Well, look, I would say that if you take the nursing sector, the medical sector, critical part of you know, our health service, we're not in that space right now, okay?
Because they're having to pay the fuel costs.
But I think people will understand that measures that government take have to be across the economy and across the sector. Now, we obviously engage with all sectors.
So you'd have to do it for everybody.
Well, I would think if you're making a change like that, look, we're 4 weeks in at this stage. And of course, when views like that are brought forward by the nurses' union, we will respect that. We will certainly look at that and see what can be done in the round. We have a budget later this year. But between this and then, I think government have been very clear to say that should the situation deteriorate, that we have resources that we could respond further. But what I would say to people is, look, we have initial measures of €235 million have been brought forward. That's the most substantial package brought forward anywhere in Europe. I heard earlier on in the week on your own show that there was discussion around Spain's reduction on VAT and electricity from mm-hmm. 20 to 10%. We already in the last budget reduced our VAT rate to 9%, 9% on electricity and gas, up to 2030. So we'd already taken measures even before this crisis to try to bring about energy affordability.
But 320,000 people, mm-hmm. that was back in January, who are in arrears on their electricity. You'll have to look at energy credits again, won't you, in the upcoming budget?
We're not looking at energy credits right now. I think what we need to ensure is that the measures we bring forward are targeted to those who need it most. Now, the arrears figures are concerning. The arrears figures, and one we've got to delve into them in more detail, the arrears figures that you see are arrears from basically 1 day to over 90 days. I would contend that those 90 days in arrears are the ones that really need to be looked at.
Have you a figure for that?
Yeah, we're working through figures on that. It still is substantial and there has been an increase.
Can you tell us what the figure is?
More on gas. I don't have a figure with me here, so I don't want to give you a figure that would be incorrect. it is still substantial.
But it's still about, in that context, so with everything that's happening, you're saying energy credits are not on the agenda.
What I've said, and the Taoiseach and government made the decision, that measures we take have got to be targeted to those who need it most. Now, an energy credit is across the board, okay, for everyone regardless mm-hmm. of income. So that is not a measure that's targeted. We brought in credits before during the cost of living crisis, 3.3 billion euro. It is a lot of resources that were deployed, the right decision at the time. I'd rather be investing in our energy system, investing in things like retrofitting grants, which this year we're targeting over 70,000 homes to do.
Okay, I just want to ask
those
you.
Those savings, yeah. if I could say, do protect us into the future. You're looking at savings of about 1,100 yeah. euro a year once homes are retrofitted. Reduces usage and improves
okay,
the...
Okay, but that's a medium to long-term solution for people.
Well, it isn't, because like we've done 240,000 yeah, homes already.
I know, but so people are... It's today. It's putting food on the table this week because of this crisis. Listen, I want to ask you about the airport cap because the Oireachtas Transport Committee is hearing from some heavy hitters today. Michael O'Leary, Lynn Embleton from Aer Lingus, Willie Walsh as well. Aer Lingus says that if the cap isn't lifted, fares will go up by 12%. Is that an empty threat or is that true?
No, I don't think so. Like the airport, Dublin Airport is a really important strategic asset for this state. It's, you know, it's how we connect outside of this country, how people travel off the island, both for business and for pleasure. We've invested heavily in the airport. The cap needs to go. I campaigned on that basis in the general election. It was in my party's manifesto. It's in the programme for government. I'm a TD who lives beside the airport, who represents an airport constituency. I know how many tens of thousands of jobs are dependent on the airport. Mm-hmm. The cap needs to go. And what it needs to go is to give long-term certainty around new route planning. So a couple of weeks ago, I'll give you an example. I was in Brazil and we're trying to open up a new first direct air route from Dublin to South America. And we have a big Brazilian population here. We do a lot of business as well in South America. People want to travel. When airlines are planning to do that, they need to know post-2027 what the situation is. So the cap doesn't exist right now because of the European case. It stayed. The legislation that's going through and being looked at right now in committee is the legislation that I've published, and all stakeholders are feeding into that. I intend to get that legislation passed this year. It has to be passed this
by
year.
By when? By the summer? Before the summer recess?
If the committee just look for two additional weeks to do their hearings, yeah. which is fine, because it's important that residents and indeed airlines and all of that get to feed in. That'll come back to me in May.
Well, it's residents and commuters, really. You know, commuters on the roads around area that you know so well who will really suffer on the head of this.
Well, no, look, 36.4 million passengers went through the airport last year. Okay,
but we're talking about up to 50 million.
No, well, you are. But the other very significant thing that's happening in North Dublin is we're going to be starting Metrolink.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. Actually, it's the first time with clean planning permission, first time capital has ever been allocated to the project. Mm-hmm. And actually this Friday, tomorrow, I'll be in North Dublin as well, where we're starting the works along the road there that will be the realignment work on the road to allow for Metro. I expect Metrolink to start by the end of next year.
But so, on the rest of the infrastructure, I saw the DAA saying yesterday that the infrastructure at the airport needs to change and improve in a really substantial way in tandem with this cap being lifted. Are you ready to go with that?
That's in with Fingal County Council at the moment. It's called the infrastructure application. We expect a decision by quarter one next year. That's about new piers and, you know, various changes in the airport campus. If the cap is lifted, which it will be, and I will lift the cap, it doesn't mean you go from 36 to 50 million passengers overnight or within a year. Mm-hmm. It's done on a phased basis. We invested, I remember 2008 being at the opening of Terminal 2. And I remember when Terminal 2 was open, there were many people, other politicians, the commentariat as well, many within it saying it was going to be a white elephant, it would never be used, it was a waste of money, etc., etc., etc. Terminal 2, if we didn't have it, you can imagine what the airport is like. Those type of investments were made. The second parallel runway is under operation. And we have a successful airport that underpins about 3% of our GDP out of that campus alone.
Well, what about the other airports? What about regional development?
And which is great. And I was just going to get to that. We're looking at Cork is growing, over 3 million passengers. Shannon is growing as well. There's a 200 million euro investment in Cork Airport happening right now. I was in Shannon just a few weeks ago. We've opened 5 new gates in Shannon. They have over 40 routes out of Shannon now, which is the highest amount they've had since the 90s. Ireland West at Knock is growing too. Mm-hmm. So it's not Dublin at the expense of at all. But like if you look at Dublin is the fifth best connected airport in all of Europe. It is a national asset that actually drives our economy and helps us connect with
okay.
people.
I just want to bring you some messages that have come in as we've been talking. Mark says he's working, gets no benefits, tax to the hilt, very high food prices, I've no savings. Yet There's support for the many working poor like me and so many others. There's no support for the working poor like me and so many others for heating oil. Even with the fuel measures in the round, I cannot afford to buy home heating oil.
Look, I know the home heating oil situation is particularly difficult, but what we've done is we have reduced the NORA levy, which is small, but we've reduced it basically. We'll vote on that today. That'll be reduced from the end of this week.
But that gets, you know, it's not a drop in the ocean, really, in the context of a fill.
But having said that, and look, I really appreciate what he's saying, but I go back to, we have about a quarter of the households in the country, 470,000 homes and families in this country are directly supported through the fuel payments.
Yep, but that's his exact point. For somebody who is working and not getting that,
I understand the point that is being made there as well. We're looking at there are, you know, support in the round of 235 million we brought forward. We will keep this under review and we will respond as needs be in a very sensible and in a structured way too. Okay. I know it's not easy for people and we're not, and I think Mark will understand this as well. We're not going to be able to soften the impact of every increase. We're not going to be able to do that. But what we've got to do is use the people's resources. It's their monies. They're the money that they've worked for Exchequer funding. While we keep investing in capital projects, like we've just mentioned, while we keep the economy going, which is, by the way, an envy of most of Europe. But we can't be complacent about that either. I'm not saying he is not being complacent. And it is tough for families. I get that. And we will work with people to try to get us through this crisis. Like, to be fair, if you look at Ukraine, if you look at Brexit, if you look at cost of living crisis, COVID, measures we brought forward then, I think by any fair assessment, actually worked and helped to protect our society and our economy. Okay. And we intend to do that again.
Minister, we'll leave it there. Thank you for coming in. That's Minister Dara O'Brien. Still to come on the show this morning.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.